in the morning and Jim Jacobs afternoons. This is Hot Talk 990 WLEE Richmond, 1340 WHAP Hopewell. Paperback
Writers. Welcome to the book show. I'm Alex.
And I'm Jack.
We're talking about books and to the authors that write them. And this evening we're going to be talking to Andrew Carroll, editor of New York Times bestseller War Letters. A collection of two letters, extraordinary correspondence, it says on the cover of the book, written by soldiers during war. And these never-before-published letters were written by soldiers from the Civil War through the Persian Gulf War. And the idea was to compile and publish these letters as part of something called the Legacy Project. And the Legacy Project was founded by Andrew Carroll. The Legacy Project, for those of you who do not know, is a national nonprofit initiative that works to honor and remember those who serve this nation in wartime by seeking out and preserving their letters. And believe it or not, the Legacy Project is 100% volunteer, and I mean 100%, folks. They accept no public or private funding, and I think that's pretty extraordinary. War Letters is available in almost all the bookstore chains, Barnes & Noble, Borders. Go to Amazon, barnesandnoble.com. And as I said earlier, it's a New York Times bestseller. The book has received all sorts of accolades from the likes of NBC News anchor Tom Brokaw, historian and author Stephen Ambrose, Senator John Glenn, and others. Stephen Ambrose said that War Letters is one of the greatest, most riveting books of war letters he has ever read. And I can say personally that it is very compelling and fascinating and moving and very educational, too. It really is hard to put down. And folks, in case you weren't sure, war is hell, as my father always used to tell me when I was younger. Some of the descriptions of the battle scenes and the injuries to the troops is really shocking. So we're going to talk to Andrew about the book and the Legacy Project. And by the way, if you want to find out more about the Legacy Project, go to www.warletters.com. That's warletters.com. If you want to give us a call here at the studio, the number is 788-0990 or 1-877-WLEE-990. Coming up today on the book show, first, we're going to have the day's trivia question. And I promise you, Jack, it's going to be a relatively easy one, especially if you're a Richmonder. And it involves war, okay? And second, we're going to talk...
Well, we've got these prizes. We've got to give them away.
Yeah, we do. We have gift certificate, folks, to some really fine restaurants, which I will mention in just a moment. We're going to do What's News in Publishing this week. It's just going to be Jack and I talking about the news in the publishing world because MJ Rose is on vacation.
Vacation, lucky dog.
Yeah, she'll be on vacation this week and next week.
Did she say where she went?
She did, but I forgot.
Oh.
I'm sorry. But she's probably having some fun. If, however, you are interested in reading MJ Rose's new book, Flesh Tones, not only can you find it in your local bookstore, but you can also go to www.mjrose.com. We'll also announce any new contests, if we have any new ones this week, in our Contest Corner segment. And later in the show, we'll announce America's best-selling books for the past week, according to the USA Today. And, of course, we're going to talk with Andrew Carroll, editor of War Letters. Now, let me get to the contest. Right. Contest Corner.
Okay.
Right. We're going to do that later in the show. let me do the trivia question because I've forgotten in the past. I don't want to forget this time, okay? Now, the number, again, is 788-0990 or 1-877-WLEE-990. And the question is, what is the name of the Union general during the Civil War, of course, who led the invasion of and set fire to Richmond? Okay.
Well, what do they get if they get it right?
Okay,
it's worthwhile.
It's worth your while because you win a $30 gift certificate to Patina Grill on the far
west end of Lauderdale Road.
On Lauderdale Road, it, folks, is a fine restaurant. Okay, so again, the question: what is the name of the Union general during the Civil War who led the invasion of and set fire to Richmond? $30 gift certificate to Patina Grill. Now, let me mention all the sponsors. We have Luray Cavern.
Awesome place.
Awesome place, which I have not visited yet. But
You've got to. And bring your camera.
I will. Patina Grill, out on the far west end off of Lauderdale Drive, Bookbinder's Restaurant in Tobacco Row.
Speaking of that, you just went there. How was
it? I was just there at Bookbinder's Restaurant, and Steve Perry is the general manager there, and I had promised him a couple months ago that I would visit, and so I did go, had a nice time, had dinner with a really nice young lady. And
did you say hi to Steve while you were there or no?
I couldn't find him.
Okay.
Couldn't find him when I was there.
How was the food?
The food was delicious. And let me give you a couple of recommendations. If you go to Bookbinder's, first of all, I highly recommend the crab cakes. I mean, almost no filler at all. It was just all crab cake, and it was just...
So it's not like a Howard Johnson's crab cake. You might be able to find a piece of crab in there.
No, it's not a Hojo crab cake. This is the real thing. And it was fantastic.
What about the lobster? Did you try that at all?
We each got seafood for the main dish, and she got the tuna.
Mm-hmm.
Grilled. Blackened tuna, and it was sushi quality, folks. I mean, you could cut that tuna with a fork. It was fantastic. And we had some delicious wine. The house wine that I had, it was
You rang up a big bill there, didn't you?
Oh, I more than... I went way over the century mark. But it was on my... Well, pretty much on my dime. I had a little help, okay? But, yeah, I was...
And
over
what did you have?
What did I have? I had wahoo. Wahoo's a fish. We're not talking about University of Virginia.
Right.
I had wahoo fish.
Good.
And it was good, but I liked her tuna, blackened tuna, better. I would recommend that. Yeah. And nobody got meat, you know, filet mignon, which the next time I go, I got to try their filet mignon. Right. And they have an 8-ounce and a 12-ounce, and of course, I'm going to get the 12-ounce.
And price reasonable high?
This is a nice restaurant, folks. It's a special occasion place. It's also a great place for a business meeting. But no.
A dressy place?
It is. Okay. It's tablecloths in there. So you're going to want to dress pretty nice.
And the same with Patina Grill, just so you know. It is. I went by there. It's a dress place.
Yeah, it is. We're also sponsored by Pages Magazine, the magazine for people who love books. And, of course, let's not forget eNovel.com, a great place to get published or just to read great books.
Hundreds upon hundreds of books.
And it's soon going to be thousands, because apparently eNovel.com is going to be adding thousands and thousands of eBooks from the major publishers.
So now it won't be just aspiring authors, but now the traditional authors as well.
That's exactly right.
At a price you can't beat.
Mm-hmm. At a price you can't beat. All right. We're going to do What's News in Publishing this past week. We're going to do it without MJ Rose, because she's on vacation. And we have some really interesting news items. So why don't we get to the first one?
Go ahead.
All right. The first item this past week, and I thought this is really fascinating. A lot of authors out there struggle to get published, and they're looking for an outlet. They're looking for a way to do it without having to go to the New York City publishers, right? Well, listen to this. There is a woman. She's an author, and her name is Zane. That's Z-A-N-E. And she wrote an erotic tale several years ago, 1997. She passed it around to a few of her friends who loved it. They passed it to their friends. They begged her to write more. So what she did is she set up her own website and called it eroticanoir.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the long and the short of it is, once she set that website up, within weeks she got 8,000 hits, and her entrepreneurial instincts were aroused. And
aroused. Erotica, keep
right.
it going.
And she ended up publishing a compilation of 40 of these erotic stories and called it the Sex Chronicles. The book took off from an initial printing of 3,000 copies, selling about 50,000 the first year purely through word of mouth.
Like I said, sex sells.
Right. And that's one lesson. Sure, sex sells. But I guarantee you a lot of people that write about sex on the internet. What was this woman's secret? She wrote the Sex Chronicles, sold 50,000 copies. She had two other titles that she's written. One's called Addicted, which came out September 2000. Shame on It All came out in June 2001. And all of these things have sold at least 50,000 copies or more. And you know what she said? You know what she said?
Tell me what she said.
She said, if there was no internet, it would be totally different. In other words, from the very beginning, her website has been the key to her large and loyal fan base.
Well, immediately access to, what, tens of millions of people. It's great.
Exactly. So,
and that justifies sponsors, too.
That's right. Enovel.com. Here's a person who, I mean, she didn't just publish it on her website, folks. Now, remember, she emailed it to friends and
gave everybody a taste first.
Yeah, she gave her a taste. Exactly. Gave them a taste of what she was writing. They really liked it, and they emailed their friends. And I think the lesson here is you can make it by publishing on the internet. You can make it and become a published author and get around, you know, publishing through these New York City publishers.
Yep, that's the big key. You got to get your name out there first. That's why
exactly.
We always recommend enter all these contests, too. Get your name out there.
Exactly. Story number two. Martha Stewart. We're all familiar with Martha Stewart. She's been in a little hot water because...
She's not in jail, right?
She's not in jail. Yeah. There were allegations made about her insider training, but... Folks, for those of you who don't know Martha Stewart, she's become an icon for millions of American women who want to live the good life. And she has a magazine, Martha Stewart Living, right?
Right.
So she's a real fashion plate. She has a line of clothes with Kmart, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, well, Martha Stewart is getting on the book bandwagon, I think, in the wake of Oprah's decision to end her book club. And she is... going to be featuring on her Martha Stewart Living television show, Martha's Favorite Books. And that's going to be starting in September. And apparently, according to the New York Observer, her picks this fall will branch out into literary fiction and beyond. So it's not just going to be highlighting lifestyle and children's titles, which she's known
to
do. But
I sure hope she takes a little bit more risk than some of these other people taking. Some of these other book groups... are picking Pulitzer Prize winners as their first picks. I mean, come on.
Well, you're talking about USA Today, right? USA Today picked...
Well, not just them. Also, who's that?
Well, there's Good Morning America.
Good Morning America one, right. They did the same thing.
Right. Well, they have a book club, and then the book club recommends a book to another book club, I think. Something like that.
Right, but... Okay. But when you're picking Pulitzer Prize winners, really going out on a limb here.
I agree. Well, it's going to be interesting. I think... Just interesting how many book clubs are cropping up because of Oprah's decision to end her
club. Yes, give us something new and interesting to read. That's all I
always
say.
Well, you know, now Oprah ended her book club, right? Well, but she's not stopped recommending books because she has decided to talk about a book called 10 Things I Learned from Bill Porter. And she's going to be talking about it, I guess, this coming Thursday.
And Bill Porter is?
I don't know who Bill Porter is. Apparently this book is, and it's called 10 Things I Learned from Bill Porter, and it's distributed by New World Library, and it tells a Tuesdays with Maury-ish story about this woman, Shelley Brady's experiences with door-to-door salesman Porter. Okay, so apparently the author, Brady, went around with Bill Porter, who's a door-to-door salesman, and she wrote this book about her experience doing that. And Oprah's going to talk about it. You know, this is not earth-shattering news, but it's just interesting that Oprah...
Well, maybe she just, like she said before, couldn't find anything she was interested in, and as she sees them, she'll do it.
Right. So she's going to do it. I guess she'll make book recommendations on a sporadic basis. So Oprah's not out of it. All the way.
Right.
Another interesting story, publishers have backlists. Folks, for those of you who aren't familiar with backlists, when a publisher publishes a book, at first it's a frontlist book because it's out there and it's prominent and it's getting marketed and there's a lot of PR for it and it's prominently displayed in bookstores. Front. It's in front. Okay?
And then very quickly.
Then very quickly it goes to a midlist. And then it goes to a backlist. And when it goes to the backlist, that means... it's at least pretty much run its course for its first introduction to the public, and it's not selling as many copies. Well, this is really valuable inventory to publishers, and they are always looking for really interesting, innovative, creative ways to refurbish and revive a backlist. And the news here is a lot of publishers are really, really working hard to... bring back their backlist, and they're trying to pull all sorts of tricks, like get their author on radio shows. All right,
mm-hmm.
maybe the book show, but shows on NPR, for example, they try to get other authors, famous authors like a John Grisham, right, to recommend a backlist book. And they have had events, you know, at the public libraries up in New York. Publishers are always looking for ways to revive a backlist book. So for those of you out there who may have written a book that was published and now is a backlist book, don't give up on it. There are all sorts of ways you can bring it back. One of them is by publishing on the internet at an enovel.com. Right. Okay? But don't forget, call up radio shows. A lot of radio shows are interested in good content, too.
Like us.
Yeah, exactly. And just a couple other quick items that I thought were kind of interesting. Actually, just one other item that I thought was kind of interesting. If you are a kid's author and you're thinking, well, how much money can a kid's author make? You know, it's not an adult. It's not pornographic. It's not a hardcover. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a mystery novel or a Nora Roberts. Are kids authors really getting big advances these days? Well, let me share a story with you.
Go ahead, share it.
It's a book written by a UK, you know,
that's United Kingdom.
United Kingdom, Britain. The writer's name is Jonathan Stroud. And Jonathan Stroud wrote a kid's book called The Bartimaeus Trilogy. I'm assuming it's some sort of fantasy program. It's about a young magician and a genie, okay? Which is apparently the way we spell genie these days, by the way, Jack, in case you didn't know. It's D-J-I-N-N-I. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Not G-E-N-I-E, but D-J-I-N-N-I. Anyway, this Jonathan Stroud wrote the Bartimaeus Trilogy, and amazingly, a studio bought the film rights to this trilogy for guess how much? And this guy just wrote it. It's not a bestseller yet.
I have no idea.
Wrote a kid's
fan. $10,000, I'll throw out.
$10,000. That's Jack's guess. Well, folks, he's only 2.99 million dollars off. Yeah, $3 million for book and film rights. So it hasn't been published yet. It's not a film yet. But this person wrote a trilogy, apparently.
Somebody saw something in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he have an agent or did he...
Well, I'm assuming he had an agent. But I think that's pretty extraordinary for a kid's book, you know? And, well, why don't I cover this last item, which I thought was kind of interesting. Palm. How many people have Palm readers?
Yeah, huh?
Well, Palm now has not only got the technology that exists now for you to read a book on its Palm,
uh-huh,
okay, but now you can also read your Palm book on a regular desktop, and it all automatically resizes the ebook either way.
About time they did that.
Exactly. So if you like reading your ebook on your Palm reader, now you'll be able to...
Well, Microsoft Reader's offered that for a while, my Janata versus the screen.
Right, and I'll bet you it's for competitive reasons now. You can read a Palm ebook on your regular-sized computer. Folks, we're going to be taking a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Andrew Carroll on, editor of War Letters. This is the book show. We're talking about books. We want to talk with you. This is WLE Hot Talk 990. We'll be right back.
Here's a true story about how joint-ritis, arthritis...